Okay, so you can hear me. I'm going to give you a quick example, and then we're going to get into the lesson. God doesn't want us to think that we are so self-sufficient and that we are to the point that we can rely on our own self to make good, sound decisions all the time. I'm going to give you a few verses where he keeps reminding us about this. Let's start off with Proverbs 12:15. Let's go to 12:15. We're going to read these, so it's going to be a class participation thing. 12:15. See what he says, starts off with. 12:15. Who's got 12:15? Okay, read that.
The way of the fool is right to people, but a wise man lives to
life. Okay. Now we get to the point where we say, yeah, I got this all figured out. And here God comes and, I think this is one of the first places he mentions it in Proverbs. He says, the way of a fool seems right in his own eyes. You think you've got this figured out? If you're wise, you'll ask somebody. You'll consult with somebody. You'll get some good, sound advice. Let's go to 14:12. Just right over. Keep going. 14:12. Somebody read that. You reckon, our level of reckoning, you would figure to say, oh yeah, that's right. Without consulting, without getting in depth of what the problems are, we'll make decisions like that. 16:2. Right on over to 16:2. All right, I'll read that one. Go ahead, Russ. Okay. We have some mechanism within us that justifies. If we want to do something bad enough, we'll justify it. We'll reason in our mind, that's going to work out all right. That's the way I want it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. All right, let's go over to 16:25. All these are basically saying the same thing. I want to remind you that. Someone read 16:25. Right. It's almost as if God is just repeating this thing. I want you to understand this. I want you to get it in your mindset that this is the way things are. All right. 21:2. Who's got that? Have this way of mechanism in there justifying. God is reminding us that we have this within us to do this. So he wants us to stop and think before we start making decisions on our own. That's 21:2. 25:12. That doesn't sound right. All right, go ahead and read 25:12. It'll fit in there.
Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is the wise of people
who have been here. Once you be thinking about it. 28:26, the last one here.
28:26. He who trusts himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is
steadfast. Okay. If after all those messages from God, we haven't finally sunk into you that you better start listening to other people, you better start getting counsel, you better start using good reasoning before you think that you know it all, then that, then he's repeated here about 6-7 times. But then I want you to turn back to 15:22, because he's got an answer for you here. He never tells you a problem without giving you an answer. This is just one of the answers he's got, by the way, because he's, he repeats it over and over. You might read 15:22. You can't get too many good counselors around you. You can't have too many wise friends around you. You can't get good, too much good counseling, is what he's trying to tell you here. He says, and get them from a lot of people. The problem with us is we stick with this little inner circle that we have, all of our answers, and they may not be wise at all. We might be getting bad answers all the time. So we got to choose the people that we get counseling from wisely so that we can get good, wise decisions. And I've got down here the footnote. It says, I said, do not use your same friends for all your advice. Go outside of that circle. Seek advice from people who've had experience in it, from people who you think to be deemed more wiser than you, or people who have come out of that field or had maybe the same problems that you have. So do not stay in that center circle all the time. Having said that, I'm going to go now into some problems that you might be facing, and then let's see how Proverbs fit in. With all the news we hear today about children being abused, tortured, imprisoned, starved, killed, and with some people calling the police about parents punishing their children in public, how are we as Christians supposed to discipline our children in the way that God wants us to? We read about this and we hear about it every day. With all this out there, there has been the tendency now to get away from corporal punishment or from physical punishment to children because of all these problems. Ephesians 5:1, the answer to this, or to get started in the answer to this, first of all, you got to walk in love. With Ephesians 5:1. We've got to walk in the love of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5:5, we've got to walk in the light. We've got to be an example. And then 5:15 says we've got to walk in wisdom, and that's the book we're in right now. We've got to walk in wisdom. Book of Proverbs. All right, how are we going to take care of our children and make sure they grow up in the way that God wants us to? Number one, love. We've got to have love in our heart when we discipline our children. I want someone to go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, and I want to read verses 11 and 12. 11 and 12. Corrects those that he loves. If you're not being corrected, then you're not being loved. That's by your father also. Proverbs 10:1. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. Proverbs 13:24. We've all heard this one. Somebody read that in 13:24. Go ahead.
He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him constantly.
There's no other way you can read that. He's physically talking, I mean, he's actually talking about applying a rod or a strap or a whip or a switch to someone to get their attention, to tell them that they're doing something wrong and they need to change it. And to prove that, let's go to this next one over there, Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. A fool despises being corrected. If you don't want a fool as a child, then the punishment or the correction is going to correct, going to get him out of that. Over to 19:18, Proverbs 19:18. Read that, someone. He says, chastise your son while his hope. He means to do it while he's young. You know, when he gets 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, it's not going to work anymore. I made a new proverb out of that. And basically, turn that around. It's better to see a tear in your child's eyes in correction than to see tears in their mother's and father's eyes when they're older and go to prison. Because it'll happen. It'll happen. All right, then let's go to Proverbs 20:11. I think the last thing or the last shame that could be brought on parents is for someone to refer to their child as being out of control. People say, oh yeah, well, their child, he's completely out of control. He's disrespectful. He doesn't obey his mother and parents. He's out of control. That's the last thing a parent wants to hear. 22:6. Start when they're young. When he's old, you're not going to have a chance. You start when he's young. And even if he's rebellious after that, when he gets to the age, and I can tell you, age will take care of a lot of things, he'll start remembering back. He'll remember where he went wrong and he'll repent of that. 23:13-14. Listen to what Proverbs is telling you. This is God speaking through His Word. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Couldn't be any plainer than that. And of course, then we want to go back and remind, this is not abuse here. You do this in love, and you do not do it abusively. It's right there for us to listen to. 29:15-17. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother. I know that in my lifetime, at least in the last 10 to 15 years, there's been a great many of parents that we've gotten to know that believe that you do not lay a hand on the child. You just try to talk him out of it, try to reason with him, but you never touch him physically. And that is in contrast to what the Bible teaches us how to raise a child. Again, remind you, that this is done in Christian and Christ-like love. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the translations give rise to the abuse and so forth. And some of the translations say to beat the child. Well, that, that causes folks to look at, oh, it's okay to beat them. And that, the proper word here is discipline.
Discipline.
And one of the things about discipline that we have to understand is that the discipline, by definition, is teaching. It's not just punishment. And that's what so many people don't understand. When they think of discipline, they think of punishment. Discipline, the word disciple, comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And disciples are students. And so the whole idea of discipline is to teach someone something. So we have to keep that in mind. If all I'm going to do is punish them, then I'm going to be more apt to do the beating. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if I have in mind the discipline, then I'm going to be trying to teach them what they need to know, which is what the wise man here is telling us, is about the discipline. So we have to be careful with some of those translations and the way that the word is used, because people get the wrong idea from that, because of that word that's used.
That's why you got to go back to Ephesians first, before you get into say, well, I know it all. And then understand how you discipline a child. How you raise a child in the Christ-like spirit. Does anybody have any questions of discipline? Do you disagree with anything that the Bible says here about discipline? Okay. I have some friends and I have acquaintances who seem to talk endlessly. And basically, they don't say anything. They just like to talk. They seem to talk just to hear themselves talk. They seem to be know-it-alls. How do we handle people like that? Proverbs 10:19. Who likes Proverbs 10:19? So remember, when you hear these people just babbling on and on, not really saying anything, and you wonder when they get through, what'd he say? Look what Proverbs 10:19 says. Somebody read that. The King James Version, I like the King James Version a little bit better, says, and in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You understand what he's saying there? Anybody that keeps babbling on is going to start a lie. I mean, if you don't have specifically have control of your tongue and know exactly what you want to say, you keep saying enough and you're going to lie. You're going to brag too much. You're going to exaggerate too much. You're going to tell a lie. So when you're one of those people that just want to talk all the time, sin is present. It's going to be present in there somewhere. But he who restrains his lips, he who's able to keep his mouth shut and just listen, that's a wise person. Okay? Proverbs 19, we got that, 1921. How about 1728? Proverbs 1728. Now listen to what he's saying here. This is a very, this is something we can all use. Listen to what he says here. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. In other words, when he keeps his mouth shut. Even a fool. If you just sit there and listen, and that's all you do, that guy knows what he's talking about. Yeah, he knows something. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. So if you're in a bunch around a bunch of know-it-alls, don't join them. Just sit there and listen to them. Just sit there and listen to them. And you'll be deemed wise. It's only when we open our mouth that they see that we're not as smart as we think we are. I like that one. That's one of my favorite ones, by the way. I know some people, maybe close friends, who seem to constantly interrupt conversations. We even finish my sentences. They'll be talking to me and they'll just all of a sudden finish your sentence. Or they'll finish your thought out. So go ahead and tell everybody what you were going to say. What does Proverbs have said about this kind of behavior? Again, going back to 10:19, which we just read. But then again, go to Proverbs 18:13. I might read that. So don't jump in and finish somebody's conversation. To me, that's almost being arrogant, that you think that you can read someone's mind and tell other people what they're thinking. And we all get to the point where I know what he's thinking. I've been around him long enough. Proverbs tell you is that if you answer a matter before it comes out of his mouth, in other words, you answer it for him, it's a folly and a shame for you to do so. That's being arrogant. That's saying that you know more than what they were getting ready to tell you. So you don't want to fall into that category. Be careful about that. Anybody got any questions about that? We all have friends who come to see us with some sort of disagreement that they have with someone else, and they could be even talking about a friend of ours. They tell us how bad they've been treated, or wanting our support or our understanding. How are we to react to that? Now, here's a friend of yours coming up to you, telling you about another person. It could be a friend or could not be a friend of yours. He's telling you about all the bad things they've done to him and about the situation that they're in. Proverbs 18:17. They come to you, want you to pat them on the back, put your arm on the shoulder. I agree with you. They're bad people over there. But then when the other one comes up and tells you his side of the story, it's probably completely different. We as human beings, if I'm trying to win you over of a disagreement that I have with someone else, I'm going to embellish what I tell you. I'm not going to tell you any bad points on my side of what I might have done to provoke him, or what I might have said that would provoke him. I'm going to just tell you how nice a guy I am, and look what he did to me. Look what he did to me. We're going to douse him. We have a tendency of human beings to do that. So when someone comes to you with this kind of a problem, it's best to just listen to them, keep your mouth shut, listen to them, and then find out what the other person has to say before you make any kind of decisions. I'm guilty of that. If I'm going to tell you, try to win you over, I'm not going to tell you all my bad points. I'm going to tell you, not tell you any of my bad points. I'm going to tell you all their bad points. I'm not going to tell you any of mine. Yeah, Brian?
There's always three sides to the story. His side.
Yeah. His side, her side, and somewhere in the middle there is the truth, we say. I paraphrase that too, that verse there. My paraphrasing of that is, my argument against my brother was very convincing until he had a chance to speak. I was very convincing to you until he gets up. When he gets up, he blows me out of the water. So you want to be careful of that. Never take sides. This is almost a common daily situation in some of us, particularly if you're working, you've got people coming up to you. We face, want to be wise in how you handle this and to be careful of how you get involved in this. This girl, this guy, these people that made my life miserable for months, that made my life miserable for years for the things they've done or said about me or my family, finally karma seems to have caught up with them and they're getting back what I think they deserve. What's our reaction when that happens? Proverbs 20:22. Go and read that.
Do not say, I will recompensate evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you.
Do not rob God of what he's committed to do. When you want revenge, when you take revenge, when you get revenge, you're robbing God of what is his job. So be careful we do not get into that. And I say, I'll get back at you. I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to get back at you. Then one other verse we want to get on that is 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when you see him stumble. Lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So if you take great joy in that, and you jumping up and down that they got what they deserve, God is apt to just take his wrath away from them. You've gotten your pleasure by doing that. So he's warned you, don't do that. Let him do his job, and then we're to go on with our life and forgive him. We're supposed to love our enemies. Okay. We know we're not of this world, but we have to live in it until we are called home. We also know that we're here to reach out and teach as many people in this world that we can. But we're also warned by God that we are to avoid certain people. And they demonstrate certain habits. We are to avoid them. Proverbs 1:8-19. It's going to be a long one. Proverbs 1. But you got to know who out there that you need to avoid and stay away from. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for there will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. With all kinds of precious possessions we shall fill our houses and spoil. Cast in your lot amongst us, let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread, in the sight of the bird they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So those people who are just evil, and there are many people out there like that, we're supposed to have the wisdom to discern that they're just trying to draw us in with them, and then we'll be stuck in the same lot that they're stuck in. Four fourteen to seventeen. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass it on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of the wicked, and they drink the wine of violence. Again, type of people that you don't want to be drawn into. 12, Proverbs 5, no, Proverbs 6, 12 to 18. Proverbs 6, 12 to 18. People you want to avoid. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Beware these people who sow discord and who devise evil. I guess in their day, winking was considered an evil gesture. Not so much today, but in that day it was. I haven't researched that, but I would surmise that's what that is. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous child should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked is going to lead you astray. Be careful whom you choose as a friend. 2019. He who goes about as a tale bearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Don't associate with those kind of people. Twenty-two, twenty-four, and twenty-five. Listen to what he has to say here, because I know we know people who very well fit in this category. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. And he's not talking about someone who would occasionally lose his temper. We all have done that. He's talking to someone who's just by their nature, an angry man. And he always seems furious about everything. Nothing is right with him. Because if you do that, you're going to learn his ways, and it could become a snare to your soul. 24, 1 and 2. Do not be envious of an evil man, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Now, some of our, see our friends right there all the time, they think of things trouble they can get into. And they're always conniving. How they're going to get something from somebody. Finally, 25, 21, and 22. Hungry. Oh, where this came in. Let's go and read. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals on fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. It might have been taken out of context there, and I apologize for that. Does anybody have any questions about how we have to choose our friends? How old is wisdom? How long has wisdom been around? Anybody have an idea? Huh? Proverbs 8:22 to 31. Proverbs 8:22-31. I never knew this, the depth of wisdom. Someone read that for me. 22-31. Listen to what God's telling you about how long wisdom has been around. Someone read that. As long as God has been around, wisdom has been around. So we know God is love, but God's also wisdom. He is wisdom. And He wants to share this wisdom with you and I. Okay. All right. Knowing that Jesus came into the world to seek the lost and the poor, because we know blessed are the you poor, in Luke, or Sermon on the Mount. But just how are you and I to react to these poor people that Jesus came to seek and to save? I sometimes don't think we fully understand that, the depth of which we are to be associated with them. Go to Proverbs 19:17. Listen to what he's saying to you here. He who has pity. And when I say pity here, we don't mean just look at him so I feel sorry for him. I'm talking about an honest concern for the poor. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. You're lending money to God. You're lending whatever you can give that poor man to help him. And the second part of that, He'll pay you back what you've given. So if you want to be a loaner to God, help the poor. And then He's going to pay you back whatever you've given to that poor person. Okay? Number two, 21, go to 21, 13 and 17. 21. Thirteen says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry and he won't be heard. You can shut them out of your life if you want to, but there's going to come a time and you're going to cry and you won't be heard. And then number 17 says, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. If you want it all for yourself, not share it, then you're going to become a poor man. 22:16. He who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. 22:9. Let's skip over 22:9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. In 22:24 and 25. No, that's not right. From where they came from. We've already covered that, didn't we? All right, I don't say much more time. We only got much more time. Let's see if I can get one more out of here. Huh?
22 and 23.
Is that what it was? 22 and 23? Yeah. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the souls of those who plunder them. So the Lord is going to take care of the poor, and he expects us to do our part. I'm going to stop that. Let's see. I'm going to end up with Proverbs 13:20. This will be the end of this lesson right here. This is, if we don't do anything else, we want to heed this as we leave this class. We want to heed this. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools, if you choose to have fools as your companion, will be destroyed. So I encourage you to seek wisdom. I encourage you to read Proverbs. I encourage you to take advantage of the promise that God gives you in promise. If you study his Proverbs, he'll make you wise. If he makes you wise, you'll be in the same boat, not to the same capacity, because nobody will ever be as wise as Solomon. But you'll be wiser than those around you. And that's Proverbs for you today. Thank you. Goodbye.